Open your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The name of the message is Our Message Offensive? Is Our Message Offensive? We'll read here verses 1 to 15. Galatians chapter 5. Now the setting for this epistle is Paul is battling religious works mongers who had told the Galatians that they had to be circumcised in order to be saved, thus missing grace and works. And in chapter 1, Paul called what the false teachers were teaching, that you had to be circumcised along with Christ to be saved. Paul called it another gospel. Another gospel, which was not the gospel. Which was not the gospel. Anything that you add to Christ, even the smallest amount, even just a pinprick of works, and it's no longer grace. It's no longer grace. Let's read Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand fast. Stand firm. In the liberty, the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now remember what he's writing about. He's combating again works-based salvation. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now look at what Paul's bringing forth here. If one is to say that you must be circumcised to be saved along with Christ or circumcision, then you're a debtor to the whole law. The whole law. And not one of us can fulfill one law. Not one of us. Look at this. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. You want to be justified by the law? Christ is no effect to you. You are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. You did well. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What's the truth? Just trust Christ. Just look to Christ. Plus nothing. Salvation's in Christ and Christ alone. And we'll see today that that's an offensive message. That's an offensive message to people who seek to justify themselves by their own works. But not to God's people. Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of sin leaveneth the whole lump. You add anything to grace, it's no longer grace. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgments, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. There's our text. And if I, brethren, yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty only. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Take note of verse 11 there in Galatians chapter 5. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, that's the works of man for salvation. That's what that means. That's the works of man for salvation. Because the context of the epistle is about that. He's battling again people who say you have to be circumcised to be saved. Why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. So note then, if one preaches works to be saved, then the offense of the cross has ceased. The offense of the gospel has ceased. Now, gospel preachers, we don't set out to offend people. No, not at all. The message is offensive to natural men. It was offensive to me before the Lord saved me. Was it so for you? Because it was for me. I did not want to hear it. I did not want to be around people who told me about it. But now, it's the only message I want to hear. In the name that I once cursed, now I love. And now I adore the Lord Jesus Christ. The name above all names. Is it so for you? It's a miracle of grace. It's a miracle of grace. Paul is bringing forth here that there's no offense in works-based religion. There's no offense in works-based religion. It is the cross of Christ that's offensive. It's the Christ of the cross that's offensive. It is the pure, free, and sovereign grace of God, the gospel of substitution, that is offensive to natural man. It's offensive to natural man. You know why? Because it shows the utter inability for man to save themselves. It unmasks the lie that we think we can save ourselves. It tears the mask right off. And what does it do? It leaves man condemned. It leaves natural man condemned by their own supposed good works. And man hates it. People hate it. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them, and that's natural man, to them that perish, foolishness. It's nonsense to them. I was there. Praise God He didn't leave me there. Is it so for you? Right? But unto us which are saved, what? It's the power of God. Oh my. It's the power of God manifested. Manifested. Now man is by nature very religious. Very religious. There's all kinds of different religions all over this world, aren't there? Natural man is religious by nature. And religion is all about what they do. Religion is all about what you do. Therefore, it's not offensive, is it? It's not offensive. You notice they all get along? All get along, don't they? It's not offensive. People say, just let me believe the way I want to believe. That's what they say. What is offensive to natural man? What is offensive to the man or woman who's dead in trespasses and sins is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is the only full, now here it is, is the only full and complete Redeemer of sinners. That's what's offensive to men and women. That's where the offense is. That Christ is the full and complete Redeemer of sinners, of those who trust in Him. That's where the offense is. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the free grace of God in Christ, it's a message of mercy, beloved. And for we who have tasted that the Lord is gracious, we can say, Amen. The gospel brings forth mercy for the miserable. Mercy for the miserable. It's a message of love. Love for the unlovely. Also in the preaching of the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ, we see grace for the guilty, don't we? Grace for the guilty. Grace given to undeserving sinners. And this is good news for sinners, isn't it? It's good news. The question is, are you a sinner? Do you see yourself as a sinner before God? Because this is good news for sinners. And we who are redeemed by the Lord, we declare we're but saved sinners, aren't we? I sin more than I want to, do you? Oh my. But praise God, I'm saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is a proclamation of the free gift of God, the unspeakable gift of God, the gift of life, eternal life. Eternal life. Which is only found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel of Christ announces life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. We fell in Adam. And the gospel declares peace to troubled hearts. Are you troubled? Are you burdened by your sin? It declares peace to troubled souls, all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else is there peace with God, but in and through Christ and Christ alone. Nowhere else. And Paul calls the preaching of this wondrous gospel of the grace of God in Christ the offense of the cross. The offense of the cross. Beloved of God, the gospel of substitution, the gospel of the grace of God, has a history in this world of being hated and despised, rejected by men and women in this world. We see it when we read the Scriptures. We see it when we read of the saints of old enduring persecutions for what they believed. And we see it in our own day, don't we? We see it in our own day. This precious gospel. This precious gospel which we love, which points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the object of our faith. It is He who is despised and rejected still of men and women. And this precious, precious gospel, the gospel of the grace of God in Christ. The gospel of substitution was once offensive to us in our natural state too. So we don't see ourselves as better than anyone else, no. We see ourselves as ones who have obtained mercy and received the grace of God in Christ and Christ alone. And again, we're still sinners. But we're saved sinners, aren't we? We who are the born-again, blood-washed people of God. And oh, how precious to the believer in Christ is this gospel. Because it tells us all about Him. It tells us all about Him. We rejoice, don't we, in the mercy of God, showing to sinners such as us in and through Christ. Again, look at verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God. In chapter 2 of the same book, in verse 14, Paul brings this forth, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We cannot know about Christ unless He reveals Himself to us. And when He does, we praise His mighty name. Turn, if you would, to John 15, verse 19. See, this gospel has been hated for years and years and years, and despised. And as I said, we who are redeemed, at one time we despised this gospel to our shame. But now it's the power of God unto salvation to us, isn't it? It's absolutely wonderful. Look at this in John 15:19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. It hated our Master. Therefore, it'll hate us. And then in John, 1 John, it says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. 1 John 3:13. Marvel not. Don't marvel in that. The people of the world hated our Master. They're going to hate us too. And You ever get tired of people hearing people say, well, you all think you're holier than thou. No, sit down with me for a little while and I'll tell you that I'm just but a saved sinner. Okay. Oh my. I don't think I'm holier than anyone else. I'm worse than anyone else. And every believer says, yeah, that's me. We battle with Paul saying we're the chief of sinners, don't we? Oh my, we do. Because that's how we are. Oh my. Why do natural man hate the gospel so much? Because it strips them of any merit before God. That's why. It absolutely strips them of any merit before God. It wounds their pride, beloved. It wounds their pride. And you know what else it does? It exposes their self-righteousness. That's what the gospel did to me. It exposed my self-righteousness. I was religious. I knew doctrine. I could sit down and go toe-to-toe with you about stuff. But I was lost. And I was the most self-righteous man. Just ask my wife. She would tell you how I was. It was awful. But praise God, by His grace, He saved me. He saved me. And so the gospel of salvation in and through Christ alone, the gospel of substitution of the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, exposes man's self-righteousness. Strips us of any merit before God. Our Lord told the disciples over in John chapter 16, verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Let's turn there if we would. John chapter 16, verse 2. John chapter 16, verse 2. Our Lord told the disciples, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Well, that's organized religion, beloved. That's organized religion. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Look at that in John 16:2. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think you doeth that he doeth God's service. Turn over, if you would, to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. The Jews had made a law that if one confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, then they'd be cast out of the synagogue, excommunicated. And this is spoken of over here in John chapter 9, verse 22. And these are they're speaking to the parents of the man who's been, he can see again. He's been healed. He was blind, but now he can see. These words spake his parents because they feared, look at verse 22, because they feared the Jews had, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Cast out. Now for a Jew to be cast out of the synagogue, it meant he was cut off from his Jewish nation. He was cut off from the promises, from the hope of Israel. It also meant that they would be considered pagans. They'd lose their jobs, they'd be cut off from their families, they'd be denied an honorable burial. But our Lord brings forth that the time will come that even when religious zealots will put you to death in the name of God. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. They will put you to death in the name of God. They're convinced that you're a heretic because you serve God. And we see this in what happened to Stephen. Look at Acts chapter 7, verses 57 to 60. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Why? Because he preached the gospel. Because he preached the gospel. And the witnesses laid down their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. My. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Paul professed in Acts 26 that as a religious Pharisee, he did these very things. He went and thinking that he was doing God's service, killing Christians. Acts 26, look at verses 9 to 10. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. Now remember too, before we remember, Paul is a vessel of mercy. He doesn't know it, does he? He has no idea. He's a natural man at this point, what he's writing about. He's a natural man. He's not saved. He hates Christ. He hates the things of Christ. He hates the people of God. But look what he writes. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison. Oh my. Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I promised them oft in every synagogue and felled them to blasphemy. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Paul was once a hater of the Lord Jesus Christ. But by the miracle of grace, he became a lover of the Master, didn't he? And a preacher. But he persecuted Christians, thinking he was doing God's service. So if what we preach is not offensive to the religionist and to the worldling, then it's not the gospel of Christ. It's not the gospel. The gospel preacher preaches and proclaims the Lord Jesus Christ is the only full, complete Savior of sinners. Period. Nothing more and nothing less. Salvation is not in good works. It's not in the church. It's not in religion. It's in Christ and Christ alone. That's where salvation is. And this is the message that the world hates. Why is the preaching of the gospel offensive to men and women? Number one, the preaching of the total depravity and inability offends man's dignity and claim to personal righteousness. The preaching of man's total depravity and utter inability to save themselves offends man's dignity and claim to personal righteousness. People just do not think they're sinners. They think everyone else is. They can always point you to someone who's worse than them. Did you ever do that before? We did that, didn't we? We used to do that. Now we just say, no, I'm the chief. Oh, full of self-righteousness. The Jews proclaimed over in the book of John when our Lord told them that they were the father of the devil, they were highly offended. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. They were highly offended. John chapter 8. And they proclaim, we're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. John chapter 8, verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And now when they proclaim we've been not born of fornication, they're saying we're not sinners. We may not be perfect. What does the world always say? Well, we're not perfect, but we're not totally corrupt. Yeah, you are. That's how we're born. Dead in trespasses and sins. And is this not what the natural man proclaims? Say, well, I'm not perfect. But we're not all bad. Yeah, there's none good, no, not one, Scripture declares. Look at our Lord's response to these Jews. Verse 42 to 47. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. They weren't given ears to hear the words of the shepherd. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. See, that's the problem with people nowadays. They don't believe what the Bible says. And it's always been so. They didn't believe Christ. What he said. Which of you convinces me of sin? Well, no one could. He's perfect. He's spotless. He's the sinless Lamb of God. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Look at this. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's why they don't hear the words. Not of God. And the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace and salvation through Christ alone is proclaimed to all men, isn't it? Get up and preach the gospel to all. It addresses old and young, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile. And the gospel addresses all men everywhere and all women as sinners. Men and women, we're all a bunch of sinners. In God's sight and in our natural state. We're guilty in Adam. We all fell in Adam. Every one of us. In sin did my mother conceive me, the Scripture proclaims. I was shapen in iniquity. I was brought forth speaking lies. That's what the Scripture says. People just don't believe it. We're guilty by nature. Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. I find a law within me that when I would do good, evil is present with me. We have evil thoughts, evil desires, evil passions, and evil intentions. We're all sinners by choice. We choose sin. And we're sinners by practice. That's what we are. And the Scriptures declare there's no difference. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. They're all under sin. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none righteous, no, not one. What does that mean? That means everyone's guilty before God. That's what the Scriptures declare. But people don't believe it. They say, well, I'm not too bad. I'm a pretty good person. Not according to the Scriptures. I used to think my good would outweigh my bad. Matt and I were doing a study the other day, and we hit on the Scripture talking about the balances and how Christ is the just balance. So that whole theory of mine before with, well, God would weigh the good. No, it'd be like this. Wayne's totally bad and Christ is totally good. That's how it is. There's no, Christ is the just weight. He's the perfect weight. He's the perfect balance. Because He's the God-man. He's the God-man. Only He is perfect. Only He is sinless. There is not a righteous man in this world by himself, by his own attitude, actions, and manner of life. The Scriptures declare this, that there's none righteous, no, not one. And that's offensive. That's offensive to natural men. They get mad. I got mad when I first heard that. I'm sure it was so for you. God requires perfection to be in His presence. Perfect righteousness. And we preach that the only way we are made righteous is by Christ and Christ alone. And that's offensive to man. That's offensive to natural man. In this message of the grace of God in Christ, it offends the natural man, and the saint acknowledges that this was our natural state even before we were saved. And even though we're saved, we're still sinners. Praise be to God, we're saved sinners. We rejoice in the mercy of God that's been shown us. Why is the preaching of the gospel offensive to men and women? Number two, the preaching of effectual redemption through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our substitute and sin offering offends man's pride. It offends man's pride. This is the second point where the gospel is offensive. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of the free grace of God in Christ declares a full, now I rejoice in this, a full, complete righteousness, which we don't have in our natural state. It declares a full, complete righteousness purposed by God, provided by God, purchased by God the Son on Calvary's cross for His people by His death. And men get highly offended at this. Is they would have God do all that He wants to do and all that He can do, but there must be a little bit of work left for the sinner to perform. That man might somewhat share in the glory. No, it doesn't work that way. The preaching of the gospel proclaims a full, complete atonement that has been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is God incarnate in the flesh, in the room and place of His people. And God's people say, hallelujah, what a Savior. That which God demands, that which God demands, He provides for we who are sinners, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is offensive to man. But it is true, this statement right here, There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. No judgment, no damnation, no curse to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the God-man, our Redeemer, our representative as a man on this earth in the flesh, He fulfilled by His obedience and by His perfect life and by His death upon the cross all the requirements of God's law on behalf of His people. What a Savior! What a Redeemer! The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And His righteousness is imputed to the believer in Christ, to His people, who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Those He purchased on Calvary's cross with the shedding of His own precious blood. And He satisfied all that God demanded for us. His law is satisfied. His wrath is appeased. And His people are free. Free. Turn, if you would, to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, we'll read verses 15 to 21. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Man is not justified by the works of the law. Because we can't even fulfill one law. Huh? But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Look at this statement. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's pretty plain, isn't it? That's offensive to man. See, because it wounds their pride. They want to do something. They want to say, well, I have a little bit in there. No. For that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if we seek to be justified by, we seek to be justified by Christ, we also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I have destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Oh, He loved His people, beloved. And what? And gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness comes by what you do, then Christ is dead in vain. That's what the Scriptures say right there. And think of this. The believer is clothed in the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ. And we have a perfect standing before God. All in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we're saved sinners, God sees us in Christ. He sees us in Christ. And our great God, who is holy, just, righteous, He loves us, forgives us, accepts us, and justifies us all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. It is Christ who by Himself purged our sins. It's not Christ and me or Jesus and you. It is Christ alone who has purged our sins. He is the believer's holiness, all of it. All of it. He is the believer's justifier. Completely. Completely. He is our acceptance. with God. And nothing needs to be added to what He's done. Nothing at all. And we are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are redeemed fully. The ransom is paid. Nothing needs to be added. It is finished. Finished. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, because there's none righteous, no, not one. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the gospel. Revealed from faith to faith, and for it is written, the just. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. The doctrine of substitution. The doctrine of total, complete substitution. It is offensive to natural man and woman. It's offensive. Because it offends man's pride. It offends man's pride. The only way that you and I can stand before a holy God, the holy God of the universe, is to be washed white and clean. To be cleansed from all our sins and transgression. That's the only way that we're going to be able to stand before our holy God. Cleansed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and clothed in His perfect spotless righteousness. Because He alone is the fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 18 to 20 and marvel to 21. Marvel at these wondrous words. And this is written to believers. This is written to the elect that are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 1 says, those who are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is written to them in verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Silver and gold can't redeem us. Can't buy your way into heaven. Look at this. How were we redeemed? But with the precious blood of Christ. Is a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's a perfect, spotless Lamb of God, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. That's written to believers. This is wonderful. Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Who's your hope in? Who's your trust in? Who's the anchor of your soul? Christ and Christ alone. He's the only hope I have. I have no other hope but Him. Is it so for you? If it's not, I pray God would make it so. I pray God would make it so. Why is the preaching of the gospel offensive to men and women? The preaching of God's absolute sovereignty in creation, providence, redemption, and salvation offends man's claim to free will. Man, as I mentioned earlier, always wants something that they can do to gain merit and favor with God. And the gospel of God's free grace, when it's proclaimed, when the perfect salvation in Christ is proclaimed, either by their actions, natural man, either by their actions or their thoughts, say this, we will not have this man reign over us. They may not say those words, but by their actions and by their thoughts, that's what they're saying. And we who are the blood-bought people of God can say, we know that to be true. Because there was a time when we said those words, either by our actions or by our thoughts. Praise God, He's a merciful God, eh? Praise God. The preaching of God's absolute sovereignty and salvation offends the natural man. Because again, it strips him of all ability. Because we have no ability. Man thinks he's got ability to come to God, but he has none. He has no ability to come to God. And what does the preaching of God's absolute sovereignty and salvation do? It strips man of all ability. It brings him to the dust before the holy, sovereign God of the universe. Right where we should be. Right where we should be. The gospel of God's glory and God's grace declares that God is sovereign and almighty in the matter of salvation. The scriptures say this, eternal life is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It also says, I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. It is not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth. It is of God that showeth mercy. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. I pray not for the world, I pray for them which thou hast given me. And then the scripture says, no man can come to me except my Father which has sent me draw him. That's from the words of the Master. In Romans 8, the scriptures declare this. We know that all things work together for good for them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, and whom He predestinated, He called, and whom He called, He justified, and whom He justified, He glorified. It's all His work. And that offends man. That offends man when you preach that. And then, what shall we say to these things? What should we say to the fact that salvation is all of God? I love what Paul wrote. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what we say. Oh, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Salvation's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's of the Lord in its planning, and it's of the Lord in its execution. It pleased God to bruise Him, to bruise Christ. It pleased God to do that. Salvation of the Lord in its application. It pleased God to reveal His Son to me, Paul wrote. Salvation of the Lord is all Him in its sustaining power. We are kept, the Scripture says, by the power of God. And salvation is of the Lord in its ultimate perfection. Here in His love, not that we love God, that He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. God in His sovereign grace gives divine love to whom He will. And the new birth is from above. Totally and completely from above. This is what the Scriptures say. You must be born again. We're born from above. Of His own will begot He us with the Word of truth. It's all of God. It's all God's work. From beginning to end. And this is offensive to natural men. To natural men. But the gospel preacher proclaims this wonderful message that salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. He's the only hope for sinners. He's the only hope for sinners. Salvation is of the Lord from the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Why is the preaching of the gospel offensive to men and women? Well, the gospel must come by revelation. And this offends man's natural wisdom. Christ must reveal Himself to us or we'll never know Him. But that's offensive to natural man. That's offensive to natural man. Because it offends their wisdom. Do you know what this does? The fact that God must reveal Himself to us, this puts everyone on the same field as the learned man knows about as much about the mysteries of grace is the unlearned man, which is nothing apart from the Spirit of God. And this offends man. This offends man. The last point is the Lordship of Christ offends man's desire for recognition here and hereafter. In Mark chapter 10, verse 37, the Scriptures declare, they said unto Him, grant us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left in Thy glory. When we preach the gospel, we proclaim the absolute Lordship of Christ. We don't make Him Lord. God's already made Him Lord. He is Lord by birth. He's Lord before He even came to this world. And it's God who made Christ so. And what do as believers? We bow to His Lordship, don't we? We bow to His Lordship. We bow our knee. We praise His Lordship. Aren't you thankful that that the Lord reigns? We praise His Lordship because it's He who has saved us from our sins. It's He who has washed us in His precious blood. The natural man says, we'll not have this. Not have this man rule over me. But the blood-washed saint of God proclaims the Lordship of Christ. We rejoice in it. We rejoice in it. And you know that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day they will. This offends man too. When you preach that, they say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, one day you're going to see Him, but it'll be too late. You'll see Him in wrath then. Oh my. The gospel declares that Christ is the only way to God. He is the truth. And He is the life. And the gospel proclaims that Christ being the only way, that there is no other way. No other way but Christ and Christ alone. And this is offensive to man. This is offensive to man. The Apostle Paul said that this message was offensive. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. We'll close with this. This message was offensive, but he was sent and called to preach the gospel. He did not seek to please men. He did not seek to please men. He was sent to preach the gospel, what God had written in His Word for God's glory and God's glory alone. Galatians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please man? God's preachers don't seek to please man. We preach what the Word says. We preach what the Word says. For if I yet please men, look at this, I should not be the servant of Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your goodness and mercy and grace. Thank You for the wonderful salvation that's proclaimed in the gospel, which is all about You, Lord Jesus, all about what You've done for sinners. And we who are Your redeemed, blood-bought people, we give You all the praise and glory and honor for what You've done for us. We love You because You first loved us. We pray that we would think upon the things which we've learned today through this week. Oh Lord, we love You. We praise Your mighty name. In Jesus' name.